This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Fantasy football.
Fantasy football.
Fantasy.
It's time for One Dude with a Fantasy.
Fantasy.
One Dude with just one fantasy. Okay. Tune in or listen on the Odyssey app. Bo Johnson gives you the latest fantasy football updates, picks, and more to make sure your team is a winner.
Look, I don't know what sort of twisted fantasy you've concocted.
One Dude with a Fantasy is on. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Now, here's Bo Johnson.
The horse is prepared for battle. Day by day, one play at a time.
Preach, Jameis. The horses are prepared for battle. Sports Radio 99 The Game. Welcome to One Dude with a Fantasy, man. It is Saturday morning, November 23rd, and we are in week 12. Can you believe that? So we're in week 12 right now. That means we have 30, 40, 15, three more weeks until the playoffs start. And that's just absolutely crazy to even think about that. But fantasy football and the regular NFL season of football does kind of fly by. I had a little bit of trouble this morning logging into the text line. So if you want to hit me up this weekend, today, right now, coming up weekend, anytime really, you can hit me on Twitter at Jedi Sports Radio. You can send me a DM if you want to. You can tag me in a message if you need to. Send me some screenshots like a lot of people do, getting your fantasy football advice all throughout the weekend. So before we get to the Thursday night miracle that happened on Thursday where the Browns upset the Steelers, we have six teams on bye this week. Falcons, Saints, Bills, Bengals, Jets, Jags. All right? So no teams on bye next week because of Thanksgiving. And then in week 14, the last week before the playoffs start in about 90% of all fantasy football leagues out there, in week 14 we have six more teams on bye. NFL, you got to do better here. All right, six teams on bye this week. We had like four last week, none next week. We had started bye weeks this season in week five. Can we spread these things out a little bit more? And I'm not speaking directly from the fantasy football standpoint, but I'm speaking actually also, you know, for the health of NFL players. You got teams going on bye week in week five. Then you don't have another bye for the rest of the season. Then you have some going as late as week 14. Can we space this thing out a little bit? Maybe start bye weeks in week seven. Do two or three teams every week. Ask any NFL team. Nobody likes going on bye in week five, I can almost guarantee you. Unless you have some teams that just had injuries in the beginning of the season. So then people are going to be asking me, well, you know, the only people that want bye weeks spread out so much are fantasy football players, and they don't even matter. Well, not so fast, my friend. All right? Fantasy football brings a new audience to the NFL on a weekly basis, and that should not be ignored. Can y'all remember the Munich game, jolly old Germany, where we had Giants-Panthers, that incredible stink fest that was? Who do you think that was up at 9 o'clock in the morning watching that game? It was fantasy football players. This coming Thursday or next Thursday, Thanksgiving, the middle game, the nap time game, we have Giants freaking Cowboys, Tommy DeVito, and Cooper Rush squaring off on Thanksgiving Day. Who's going to be glued to the TV to watch that one? That's right, fantasy footballers. I've spoken to a lot of fans of the NFL, a lot of radio hosts right here at Sports Radio 99 Game. Nobody is interested in this game. Nobody wants to see it, but I can guarantee you the fantasy football players will be in front of the TV. So, there, I've said it. That's my little spiel on NFL bye weeks. Space these things out a little bit, man. Like, you're putting us in a very big spot here, NFL, with all these teams on bye. In two different weeks this season. Last year, we had six teams on bye in 1 week. A little bit easier to prepare for. This year, we have six teams on bye in two separate weeks. And then we have four teams on bye on a couple others. Anyway, on to Thursday night. The Thursday night miracle, the snow game that we heard Jameis Winston bring us in on. If you want some great laughter, fodder, stuff to just put you in a great mood, go and listen to Jameis Winston on post game from this game and, hell, any other game for that matter. So we'll start with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Russell Wilson, 21 for 28, 270 yards, did throw a touchdown. He finishes the day with 14 points. It's not something that's going to wreck your week. Coming up into these bye weeks, Russell Wilson is going to be a guy that you may have to lean on, as he has already had his bye a couple weeks ago. So, look, Russ has been throwing the ball better lately than he has, you know, in the last couple of years of his career. He is a usable fantasy starter, probably depending on matchups. So if you need to use him, like I'm going to have to in week 14, I've got Lamar Jackson, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May all on one team, all on a freaking bye in the same week. So I'm going to have to plug Russell Wilson in there. Justin Fields does get on the field. He takes a couple snaps. He runs a couple balls. He's not a startable fantasy player for you unless Russell Wilson gets hurt. Jaylen Warren, 11 rushes for 45 yards. Najee Harris, 16 rushes for 41 yards. Warren does get the touchdown there, so he kind of vultures that one. Jaylen Warren gets you 15 points. Najee Harris only gets you 7. Najee Harris is going to be the guy moving forward that you will be able to rely on, I feel, in this Pittsburgh Steelers backfield. Jaylen Warren's not going to really be a fantasy asset for you moving forward unless there is some type of injury to Najee. He did get 11 carries in this one. I think that did have a lot to do probably with the snow. You didn't see a whole lot of scoring in this game. A lot of work was done by the running backs, and we'll get to the Browns running back in just 1 second. Pat Freiermuth, as we move down the list, 4 catches for 59 yards. Does not score, but he gets you 10 points, which, look, that's fine for a bucket tight end. That's all Pat Freiermuth in. He's an aight guy, you know, so plug him in when you need to. So these Pittsburgh Steelers pass catchers, George Pickens has a little bit of a down night. As he catches 4 balls for 48 yards, does not score a touchdown. George Pickens gets you 9 points. Van Jefferson, of all people, gets you 6 points. He caught 2 balls for 39 yards. Calvin Austin scored 17 points on Thursday night. Calvin Austin had 3 receptions for 78 yards and a touchdown. I would strike that up as luck before I would strike it up as anything else. It's not like we're going to be running to put Calvin Austin into our lineups. It's going to be George Pickens. It's going to be Pat Freiermuth if you need to. It's going to be Russell Wilson in a pinch, and it's going to be Najee Harris or the Pittsburgh Steelers you're going to be able to rely on moving forward. Now on to these Cleveland Browns. J-Mo, YOLO, 18 for 27, 219 yards, does not throw a touchdown, does throw a pick. Not the best game for Jameis Winston, but it's not like you're relying on Jameis Winston too much as he scores you 13 points on Thursday night to kick off week 12 here. So the big story of the night for the Cleveland Browns, before we get into their freaking pass catchers, what a mess that is. The big story of the night is Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb rushes the ball for 20 times. He only gets 59 yards out of the day. He only averages 3 yards per carry. But the big story here is the amount of work that Nick Chubb got. I'd given people advice actually as early as soon as this week. Look, we kind of want to wait and see what Nick Chubb's going to do until he starts getting a bigger workload. He's not really going to be a usable asset for you in fantasy. Well, here's that bigger workload. Nick Chubb, 20 carries. So if Nick Chubb's going to be able to get 20 carries moving forward, Nick Chubb can go ahead and be inserted into your starting lineup. Sorry, Jerome Ford, but your usefulness has kind of been backseated by Nick Chubb, and now you are I would still keep Jerome Ford around if you do have room on your bench. Jerome Ford is going to be one of the best handcuffs. If something does happen to Nick Chubb in the last few weeks of the season, you can expect that productivity to kind of come back to Jerome Ford there. So Jerome Ford gets 4 rushes for 19 yards, but I doubt that anybody was leaning on Jerome Ford here in week 12 anyway. So Nick Chubb, usable fantasy asset for you moving forward, it does look like. He scores 2 touchdowns. That's where most of his points come from. Nick Chubb totals you out at 19 points on Thursday night. So, you know, look, volume is king in fantasy football, like I always preach. So that 59 yards doesn't really matter a whole lot because of the 2 touchdowns. But anytime you're going to have a running back that's going to touch the ball 20 times, actually 21 times because he did have a reception in there too. Anytime you're going to have a running back 20 plus touches, even 15 plus touches, that amount of volume is usually going to equate to at least a serviceable fantasy day of it, like 10 or 15 points. Then if you get the Lanyap, that little special touchdown on top, or 2 in Nick Chubb's case, that's when he's going to get you into that that high mark of 19, 20, 25 points there. So great job by Nick Chubb. I'm not sure what his start percentage was on Thursday evening. I'm pretty sure it's probably pretty low, but next weekend, as the Cleveland Browns move into week 13, I think you're going to be able to use Nick Chubb there a little bit more. So let's talk about these pass catchers. All right, Jerry Jeudy is the star again. 6 receptions, 85 yards. All right, but who are all these other guys? Elijah Moore, 3 receptions for 21 yards. Blake Whitehart, tight end, 1 reception for 29 yards. Jordan Akins, another tight end, 3 receptions for 38 yards. Look, it was cold. This is kind of a game that you're not really going to be able to pull a lot of stats for and use them moving forward because of the snow. They were spreading the ball around a lot. Biggest disappointment, I think, of the Cleveland Browns day comes from Cedric Tillman, who only 2 receptions for 28 yards. Which is kind of a disappointment there, as Cedric Tillman had multiple weeks in a row where he did have a lot of success for the Cleveland Browns. He was finding himself as Jameis Winston's most favorite target there, but for the last 2 weeks, that guy has been become Jerry Jeudy. So we're going to boost Jerry Jeudy up into a usable asset possibly. Cedric Tillman's still going to be there too. I would consider them both flex plays moving forward. As far as the other guys go, like Eli Moore, he gets you 5 points. I don't know, you know, you're not really going to start Eli Moore moving forward. Now, Cedric Tillman did come out of this game in the third quarter. I think that was what kind of contributed to his kind of a down night. He did come out of this game in the third quarter with a concussion. He does have 11 days because of the Thursday game, but even Thursday night guys that get concussions typically aren't going to be playing much in the following week, as they are not able to make it out of concussion protocol too often in 1 week, be it a Thursday game or a Sunday game. You don't see those guys playing the next week. So I would preemptively probably rule Cedric Tillman out next week, which could give a little boost there to Jerry Jeudy moving forward. And then David Njoku, kind of a down night. David Njoku, you know, 1 catch for 9 yards. He does come away with 4 points there for you. But David Njoku, that's a top-of-the-bucket guy. He's a top tight end in the NFL. So you can you're going to be able to rely on David Njoku moving forward as a reliable pass catcher there for you. That's Thursday Night Football. It was a lot of fun. I highly recommend going to look up some Jameis Winston audio, pregame, postgame. The horses were ready. The snow angels were out. He was eating snow, talking about eating snow with his son. It's just a lot of hilarity there with Jameis Winston that we do get every week in the NFL. All right, when we come back, we have 2 players returning, 1 from the IR, 1 was just out for a long time. 2 players returning that we've been waiting to get back in fantasy football for weeks, and you're going to be able to play one of them immediately. The other one, maybe not so much. The injury report's next. This is One Dude with a Fantasy on Sports Radio, 99 The Game.
Back to One Dude with a Fantasy.
My Fantasy.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back to One Dude with a Fantasy, man. It is time for our injury report. Before I get into that, let me just remind you that you can hit me up on Twitter all throughout the weekend. I am at Jedi Sports Radio. You can send me a DM on there, or you can just tag me in a comment. Either way, doesn't matter to me. You can also hit me up on IG, Facebook, anywhere across the social media platforms. You can find me at Jedi Sports Radio or Bo Johnson, which is just my name. So as we get into the injury report, got some good news for you and some otherwise not so great news for some other guys. But we do have some guys returning after extended absences, with the most notable being Mike Evans back after missing 3 weeks with that hamstring injury. Back from IR, does have a pretty advantageous matchup this week for you versus the New York Football Giants. You may just hear a little bit from Mike Evans in our next segment as we get into Fire and Ice. That, ladies and gentlemen, is called a professional tease. As we move on to the Carolina Panthers have a lot of moving parts on the injury report this week. Most notable is going to be Jonathan Brooks. All right, so Jonathan Brooks is finally going to play. The Carolina Panthers came out and said this week he is going to play for the first time this season. That's something you should take note of. All right. The Carolina Panthers are likely going to move what they think is the future of their running back room, Jonathan Brooks. They're going to move him along pretty slowly here, okay? They did just give Chuba Hubbard a pretty big amount of money just a few weeks ago. I think it was like a $30 million contract for 4 years, so that does mean something as well. So while Jonathan Brooks is going to be a great dynasty stash for you, I don't know that you're going to get a whole lot from Jonathan Brooks this season as it pertains to fantasy football. Now, look, if you have Jonathan Brooks on your bench and you've been saving him up until now, then you run into one of these, you know, 6 teams on bye and you have to put somebody in there, go ahead and put him in there. But he is going to serve as the backup to Chuba Hubbard. Miles Sanders is injured, so he is going to be the for sure number 2, just not sure what he's going to get. Look, if he comes out of this game on Sunday – with 10 carries, that might be a plus. But it's not a very good matchup for the Carolina Panthers on Sunday anyway, as they face off against the Kansas City Chiefs, so who do have one of the best run defenses in the NFL. So moving on to the rest of the Carolina Panthers, Jalen Coker, wide receiver 3 over there, did not practice on Friday with a hamstring injury. He is questionable. Unless you're in a deep league, you're probably not playing much of Jalen Coker anyway. And then Adam Thielen, old man Thielen, is going to suit up and be activated for Sunday's game. Again, Kansas City Chiefs, tough defense. You're not starting Adam Thielen this weekend unless you're completely just desperate. But, hey, six teams on bye. That comes up again. So we're going to keep Adam Thielen on our benches for the time being, unless he comes through in this game and just shows that he can be old-school Adam Thielen. I mean, even Carolina Panthers Adam Thielen hasn't been all that great. We want to see all those targets going to Xavier Leggett, all right? How about that, Bryce Young? Let's feed all those targets to the young guy there and leave old man Thielen over there with his 3 targets for 48 yards. Moving right on down the injury report, Isaiah Pacheco will not be activated from IR this week. It will be another week of Kareem Hunt. Look, it's probably going to be another few weeks of Kareem Hunt. Hopefully, in an ideal situation, if you drafted Isaiah Pacheco, you were able to pick up Kareem Hunt off of waivers after Isaiah Pacheco hit the IR. He is not going to be activated this week. He probably will be activated at some point this season. But the Kansas City Chiefs haven't needed Isaiah Pacheco yet this season. They're 9-1. So they're not going to need Isaiah Pacheco to make the playoffs. They just want to get Isaiah Pacheco healthy back for the playoffs. And that's going to be too late. So Isaiah Pacheco, you know, hold on to him if you're in Dynasty. I don't think you're going to get a whole lot of production. We have at least another couple of weeks, I think, of some good productivity out of Kareem Hunt. And it'll probably be throughout the fantasy playoffs, too. I remind you, like, you know, the fantasy playoffs, we're done by the end of the regular NFL season. So only limited amount of time for Isaiah Pacheco to get in there and be useful for you. Keenan Allen rolled his ankle yesterday at practice. The Bears are hopeful that he is going to be able to play. If he doesn't, that's just more for DJ Moore and Rome Odunze. So Keenan Allen, questionable. He did get hurt yesterday. That's Friday at practice. All right, we do not like it when injuries creep up on Thursdays and Fridays. Keenan Allen got hurt yesterday with a sprained ankle. Keep an eye on that one. DeAndre Swift, questionable with that groin injury. He did practice in full yesterday. Roschon Johnson is the guy there. Roschon Johnson found the end zone last week. For those of you that were lucky enough to have started him, and those of you that are lucky enough to have started him are probably only about 5% of people. But I'm having to start Roschon Johnson this week because of six teams on bye. For the Dallas Cowboys, CeeDee Lamb, questionable with that back and foot injury. He did practice yesterday. He is expected to play on Sunday, so you should not be worried about that. But he is going to carry that questionable tag in through the weekend, so make sure you check that an hour and a half before their game starts on Sunday. The Green Bay Packers' Josh Jacobs has been limited all week with an injury himself. Emmanuel Wilson is the guy you want to have owned there. Maybe next week we will go through, as we get into the playoffs and get closer to the playoffs, maybe I'll bring you the list of running back handcuffs that absolutely have to be owned. And on that list is going to be names like Trey Benson, who's been on your lineup or been on someone's lineup or been on someone's roster for the entire freaking season and hasn't done anything. It's been so frustrating to watch these guys this season because they've been taking up space on your bench and they haven't done anything. But there are some guys out there like Trey Benson that are going to get a lot of work should the running back, in this case James Conner, get hurt. The thing about these handcuffs this year is that, you know, they are nothing but insurance backs. And because of the health of most of the running back position this season, we have not needed him yet. But look, if you get into the playoffs and one of these running backs goes down, you want to have their backup on your roster. That way you don't miss a beat moving into the throughout the fantasy playoffs. So just keep that in mind. We'll bring you that list next week. Zamir White and Alex Mattison are both injured. Neither one of them practiced on Friday. It's a quad for Zamir White. It's an ankle for Alex Mattison. They are playing the Denver Broncos this week, so it's not a great matchup. Amir Abdullah is next up on the Raiders depth chart at running back, and behind him is Dylan Lobb, or Labe, Lobe. You don't want either one of these guys, all right? If hopefully you weren't even starting Zamir White. Alex Mattison has come around here lately, but give that one a good check. Like I said, they're playing the Broncos. Not a great matchup for anybody on the Las Vegas Raiders. You're probably only going to want to start Brock Bowers this week because Brock Bowers is startable every week. Not even a good matchup for Jacoby Myers. You may hear his name again in the next segment as well. Malik Nabers, questionable with a groin. So Malik Nabers yesterday didn't talk to the media. This is what it lists on the injury report. Did not talk to the media because of a groin injury. I'm thinking Malik Nabers did not talk to the media yesterday because Daniel Jones just got released from the team, and Malik Nabers probably didn't want to answer any questions about it. So let's blame it on a groin. I'm not going to talk to the media because of my groin injury. What a mess going on over there in New York. But if Malik Nabers does play, and if he doesn't, Wandale Robinson should be the guy over there, and Darius Slayton. They actually have a pretty good matchup this week. So keep an eye on that. But Malik Nabers misses practice and doesn't talk to the media yesterday. Ladd McConkey, questionable going into the weekend with a shoulder injury. Keep an eye on that. Devontae Smith, questionable with a hammy. Did not practice on Friday. We are in serious danger of Devontae Smith missing Sunday's game versus the Los Angeles Rams for the Philadelphia Eagles there. So, speaking of West Coast teams, so here's an interesting one. Brock Purdy got an MRI on his shoulder. Kyle Shanahan comes out and says that the 49ers are tenuous about Brock Purdy's MRI and status on Sunday. Wait, what? I didn't know that tenuous was a designation on the injury report. So tenuous. So it's kind of light. It means to me kind of that they don't feel that this is a injury that's going to keep Brock Purdy out for an extended period of time. But I'm thinking he could miss on Sunday. All right. If we could just get them to let us know, you know, use one of the designations that are already available to us. Questionable, doubtful. You know, that's the only two I think we actually have, that and out. All right, had the MRI, doesn't think that it's a long-term thing. But when a coach tells you that we don't think it's a long-term thing, that means it doesn't look good for the short term. All right, so I'm not expecting Brock Purdy to probably play on Sunday. Brandon Allen is Brock Purdy's backup. If you're in a super deep league or you have Purdy and your backup quarterback's on a bye, or hell, even if you don't even carry a backup quarterback, which you don't even really need to. So Brandon Allen's the guy. You might go pick up Brandon Allen. They do have weapons over there in San Francisco. They do need to start winning some games. So Brandon Allen, the guy you want to have on your bench in the event that Brock Purdy does not play on Sunday. And then George Kittle, who did not play last week, questionable. He was limited at practice all week with that hamstring injury that kept him out last week. He does still have the questionable designation going into the weekend. You're going to want to check on George Kittle. Make sure you have a backup plan in place for George Kittle or a backup tight end. I actually have a league that because of these six teams on frickin' bye, I'm starting three tight ends in a league this week. It's George Kittle, it's Brock Bowers, and it's Cade Otton. So there you go. And that's probably actually a pretty good start for me this on most weeks also. I just haven't had all three of those guys on the field the entire season. And to wrap up the injury report, Tajay Spears with the Tennessee Titans is out with a concussion. That should leave Tony Pollard with nothing but all the work to get over there in Tennessee. So good things coming for Tony Pollard hopefully this weekend, as when Tajay Spears plays, kind of a weird 50-50 split there for those two guys. That's going to wrap it for the injury report. We got fire and ice on the other side of this break. We'll be back in 5 minutes. This has been One Dude with a Fantasy on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
It's time for Fire and Ice. Which players are on fire? Which players you should put on ice? On One Dude with a Fantasy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back to One Dude with a Fantasy, man. We got about 12 minutes left here for you. It is time for Fire and Ice. Who are we going to start? Who are we going to sit this week? Let me just tell you one more time that you can get in touch with me on the Twitter machine at Jedi Sports Radio all throughout the weekend, all throughout the week, frankly, all throughout the football season. Drop me a note, tag me in a message, tag me on a screenshot of your team, DM me if you need to. You can also find me on IG and Facebook and several other places. Just search Bo Johnson or Jedi Sports Radio. Who are we going to bench this week in fantasy football? So, look, I understand that we have six teams on bye. Sometimes fire and ice is only meant for you to make lineup decisions, not necessarily start-sit decisions. Sometimes you get trapped in a hole and you can't do one or the other two things, or you're trying to choose between one guy or the other guy. And we always want to go with the advantageous matchup or the guy that's going to get the most work. All right, but as far as quarterbacks go this weekend, not looking good for Matt Stafford versus the Philadelphia Eagles. The Philadelphia Eagles, since their bye week, have actually – so the Philadelphia Eagles came back from their bye week with a much improved defense, and this is what people are actually wanting the Falcons to do when they come back for their bye. So that's for another time, another place. That's next week. We're talking about this week now. Matt Stafford does not have a good matchup versus the Eagles that, since their bye week – and that's a six-game sample size that we have here – have only allowed one quarterback to exceed 15 points. So not a great matchup for Stafford this week. Also not a great matchup for Anthony Richardson this week. Look, Anthony Richardson, I do believe, is on his way back. He had a great game last week, two rushing touchdowns, came off the benching, played really well. Now he gets the juggernaut that is the Detroit Lions. Detroit Lions have allowed the sixth fewest points to quarterbacks this season. No quarterbacks have gone over 21 points the entire season versus the Lions, and they are averaging 14 points for the season to the quarterback position and have only allowed 7 touchdowns to be passed on them through the air. Well, if we're going to bench Anthony Richardson and Matt Stafford, who are we going to start this week? I got some guys. How about Bo Nix versus the Raiders? The Raiders have given up the 8th most passing touchdowns this season. They've played earlier in the season, and Nix scored 23 points off of them. Hell, the Falcons, who have a better defense than the Raiders, they really do look on paper. The Falcons allowed Bo Nix to have the best game as a rookie quarterback like ever in the history of the NFL last week. So, look, I'm not saying that the Falcons are that bad of a defense. I am saying Bo Nix is that good of a quarterback. Plus, he does run. We like Bo Nix this week versus the Raiders. And, look, the game of the week should be, if I'm not mistaken, it's Monday Night Football. Let me double-check that real quick here. But Justin Herbert, as the Chargers take on the Ravens, and as we know, look, the Ravens have given up the most yards through the air in the NFL this season. They've also given up the fewest yards on the ground. Do those two have something to do with each other? Yes, they do. But, and it is Monday Night Football, Ravens, Chargers, going to be the game of the week, going to be a great one in prime time. Can't wait for this one. The Ravens are averaging 21.9 fantasy points over the last 4 weeks. And most recently versus Cincinnati Bengals, they allowed Joe Burrow to score 24.38. That's the highest game this season that they have given up. They've still surrendered a 23-point game or better to three of the past five quarterbacks that they've faced. It's a great matchup through the air against the Baltimore Ravens. You might even hear about Justin Herbert's, one of his receivers, in a few minutes as we move down on fire and ice. Let's go on through some running backs now. I mentioned Chuba Hubbard. I mentioned Jonathan Brooks. I mentioned both of those guys versus the Kansas City Chiefs this week. Only one running back has scored as many as 14 points in a PPR versus the Chiefs this season. That was James Cook. That was last week. He scored 20 points. He did have two goal line receptions that he got for touchdowns in that game. So James Cook scored two touchdowns and still only scored 20 points versus the Chiefs. Not a great matchup for Chuba Hubbard, especially not a great matchup for Jonathan Brooks, but not a great matchup for Chuba Hubbard because of Jonathan Brooks playing, and it's just a bad matchup versus Kansas City Chiefs. So who are we going to start for as far as running backs goes? I already mentioned Kareem Hunt earlier. Isaiah Pacheco not playing this week. He may play next week. He probably will. But I don't think that that's going to deter you from starting Kareem Hunt throughout the rest of the season, but especially not this week. The Carolina Panthers have given up 160 yards per game on the ground. That's the most in the NFL. Kareem Hunt is in a smash spot this week. Think about the Kansas City Chiefs, if they have been doing just enough to beat teams in the NFL in their games this season. Andy Reid's just turned into that guy who just wins games that they play. They don't really blow teams out. They don't really cover spreads. They're not really worried about that. But great spot for Kareem Hunt this week versus the Panthers. So if the Carolina Panthers have given up 160 yards a game, and that's most in the NFL, well, who's second? That's going to be the Dallas Cowboys. What a fall from grace they've had this season, as they are in complete shambles. They are giving up 151 rush yards per game. That is second most in the NFL, as I just teased. They are playing the Washington Commanders this week. and Brian Robinson is in a great spot as well. Look, if you get into a bind with all these teams on bye, you could probably even start Austin Eckler. They both got it done last week. Austin Eckler was all through the air. He only had a few carries. Brian Robinson had like 14, I think, and cashed in. Austin Eckler had like 8 receptions for like 90 yards or something like that. So he turned in a fine day too. This may be another week where you can probably start both Austin Eckler and or Brian Robinson versus the Cowboys, who are absolute garbage this season, especially as it pertains to running backs in the NFL. Another smash spot for a running back this week. How about Tyrone Tracy, running back for the New York Giants versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? For one thing, Tommy DeVito is playing in this game and starting. Tommy DeVito is the Giants' third string. Well, I guess he's actually the second string running back now, or was. Now he's the starter. But Daniel Jones is released. So Tommy DeVito elevated for the starting position as the New York Giants are trying to get out of paying Drew Lock like $500,000. So they're not going to play him. So, yes, you heard that right. Let me try to break that down for you. The New York Giants, because of Drew Lock having incentives in his contract that would only – the only ones that they – because there's like win the division. There's like finish top five in the NFL. A bunch of just weird stats that they have no chance of achieving. But there are a few that they could – are not starting Drew Lock and are instead going to Tommy DeVito, who was behind Drew Lock in the depth chart, so that they can avoid paying Drew Lock like $250,000. No idea what's going on in New York. They're clearly tanking for whatever pick. All of the wise heads and the Weisenheimers over there that do NFL draft stuff already have it pegged that the New York Giants are going to try to go for Shedeur Sanders, which would be like the number one pick in the draft, I think. And they're well on their way there. But because of Tommy DeVito starting, and we don't think they're going to be able to do anything through the air, they're not even going to try to win the game this weekend. But Tyrone Tracy for the New York Giants should be in a pretty good spot here to at least get a lot of work. Like I say all the time, volume is king in fantasy football. Tyrone Tracy should get all of it this week for the New York Giants, is we're not anticipating Tommy DeVito to have a great day. Now, look, it is a pretty good matchup for the New York Giants versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, at least through the air. So Malik Nabers should actually be in line to have a pretty good day too. And if Malik Nabers does not play with that groin injury, you may be able to start like Wandale Robinson. One of the other of those guys should be lined up to have a pretty good day as we get into wide receivers now. Wide receivers, though, that we are going to bench this week or not start or not play in DFS, kind of all depends. I can't sit here and tell you not to start these guys when you've got all these bye weeks happening. And, man, that just All right, so Jakobi Meyers versus the Denver Broncos. Let's go through this list again. I feel like we have to do this every week just so that I can remind you how good Patrick Surtain is, because he had another great week last week versus the Atlanta Falcons. So here we go. DK Metcalf, 3 receptions for 29 yards. George Pickens, 2 receptions for 29 yards. Mike Evans, 2 receptions for 17 yards. Garrett Wilson, 5 receptions for 41 yards. That's a pretty good game there, and one of the best that Patrick Surtain's given up this season. That's 9 points. DeAndre Hopkins, 4 receptions for 56 yards. Last week, Drake London had 3 catches for 61 yards. He did re-aggravate that hip pointer, I think. It didn't play the entire game. But Darnell Mooney only had 2 receptions for 27 yards himself. All right, so you don't want to mess with Pat Surtain. Understand that, look, Jakobi Meyers is the guy over there in Las Vegas. Well, he's the number 2 guy maybe behind Brock Bowers as it pertains to, like, pass catchers. But not a good spot this week. Avoid Jakobi Meyers versus the Broncos if you can. Maybe he gets lucky and falls into the end zone. Pat Surtain has not given up a touchdown to a wide receiver that he has been shadowing the entire freaking season. Don't expect for it to happen this week either. And then how about CeeDee Lamb? CeeDee Lamb versus the Washington Commanders. Look, you drafted CeeDee Lamb in the first round, probably the early first round, you know, within the top like 5-6 picks. It's been kind of a disappointment. He has had some pretty good weeks, but all in all, has not been great. The one team that I have that I own CeeDee Lamb, I am not in first place. I don't even think I have a winning record. But it's not good, not any better for him this week. He plays the Washington Commanders. The Washington Commanders have only given up more than 15 points to one receiver in the past 5 weeks. That was George Pickens a couple weeks ago in Week 10, who did score 21 points on them. But since Cooper Rush has been in and Dak Prescott has been out, CeeDee Lamb's only averaged 12.7 points So it's not like you can bench CeeDee Lamb. I would never tell you to do that. I'm not doing that. CeeDee Lamb does have the talent to overcome a bad matchup, but with Cooper Rush at quarterback, you're kind of going to have to limit your expectations there, and I'm definitely not playing him in DFS. Sue, are we going to play this week in fantasy football as wide receivers? How about Quentin Johnson? I told you about the great matchup for Justin Herbert, Monday Night Football versus the Ravens in prime time. The Ravens have given up not only the most yards through the air, but they've given up the most touchdowns to wide receivers and fantasy points. Eight different wide receivers have gone over 20 points to the versus the Baltimore Ravens this season, so I can see Quentin Johnson having a pretty good night on Monday Night Football too, especially if Ladd McConkey, who was on the injury report, if Ladd McConkey carries that questionable tag in throughout the weekend and ends up not playing, Quentin Johnson has that much better of a chance to have a great game there. And by the way, if you do have Ladd McConkey and you want to ride this thing out, this questionable injury designation, make sure you get somebody out of that Monday Night Football game that you can plug in there. Maybe one of the Ravens receivers that doesn't get that a whole lot of action. Maybe if you can – ideally, you want to have Ladd McConkey in your flex spots. Maybe you can even play like a Mark Andrews that could be on your bench, or Rashad Bateman or something like that, or maybe even somebody else like Palmer that's on the Chargers. So in a smash spot for Ladd McConkey and Quentin Johnson Monday night if Ladd McConkey does not play. And then Mike Evans. Mike Evans versus the Giants. So this is a kind of a funny one here as I bring you this next stat line. So the Bucs are playing the Giants. The Giants have a cornerback. His name is Deonte Banks. You've probably heard of him before. Deonte Banks is a shadow corner. He has shadowed in 9 of the Giants' 10 games they've played this season. The only thing about that, instead of a downgrade, when Deonte Banks shadows you, it's actually an upgrade. Why is he even shadowing people at this point in the season? He's already been benched once for not playing well. But this is the New York Giants, and who knows what goes on with their franchise. So here are some stat lines for the receivers that Deonte Banks has shadowed this season. Justin Jefferson, 4 receptions for 59 yards and a score. Terry McLaurin, 6 receptions for 22 yards. So that's not that great. Amari Cooper, 7 receptions for 86 yards and 2 touchdowns. CeeDee Lamb, 7 receptions for 98 yards and a score. DK Metcalf, 4 receptions, 55 yards. Held his own that game. T. Higgins, 7 receptions for 77 yards. George Pickens, 4 receptions for 74 yards. Terry McLaurin, 2 receptions for 19 yards, 2 touchdowns. He has averaged 16.2 fantasy points against him per game. Fire up some Mike Evans if you've been waiting patiently over the last 3 weeks as he gets over this hamstring injury. Look, Tampa Bay Bucks, none of these receivers stepped up. Sterling Shepard, Jalen McMillans, none of these guys stepped up in Mike Evans' absence. So those targets are just waiting out there to be taken. What the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have done is they've funneled those receptions, those pass yards, those targets to their two running backs, Bucky Irving and the other guy, Rashad White. So Cade Otton's still going to be there, but you know the receivers may not get as many targets with Mike Evans still on the field. They should not. Mike Evans always going to be the end zone guy there, the red zone guy there. Cade Otton's probably going to lose some luster this week. But, yeah, fire up Mike Evans as he returns from injury versus the New York lowly Giants. That's going to do it for me this week on One Dude with a Fantasy. Jedi Sports Radio is my handle on Twitter, on IG. Doesn't matter how you find me this week, this weekend, this football season, just find me. College football game time is next. This has been One Dude with a Fantasy on Sports Radio 99 The Game and the Odyssey app.